your mother. It's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just a trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things, flapping their wings on.
Do you think Jack Del Rio's not going to go to the bar and get a drink and then come back and you know, run his team? He didn't give me a break.
I can't speak to what Jack Del Rio's going to do, but what I can tell you is,
Marissa,
is that...
Marissa, let's make that the drop. Yeah,
but what I can tell you is...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a post-game Birds with Friends at 12:11 in the morning following the Eagles' narrow defeat to the Arizona Cardinals. An exciting game, one of the more exciting games of the Eagles season, joined by Zach Berman and Marissa Morris. What did I miss here? Everybody doing all right?
Went out for a moment. So,
we're starting the show off great.
Oh, good. That's exciting. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. We can.
Did you hear any of the intro?
I heard.
We did.
Yeah. Well, now we're totally thrown off, but that's okay. Having some internet issues, that's probably going to be a problem throughout the episode, so we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to be able to watch the comments, so Marissa, you can let us know if there's anything interesting on the comments, and we'll just see how far we get. I'd like to hear a Zach soliloquy anyway, and maybe you'll just end up having to call one of your brothers, and you guys can host the show together.
Are you pitching it to
Does
me
that
there?
Sound good
am
to you?
I supposed to
yeah,
respond?
Yeah, that was me to you. Yeah,
yeah, am I supposed to respond to the game part, to the how am I doing part, to the brothers part?
You're supposed to respond to whatever you want.
Look, I'm excited for this
Act
podcast.
Like I'm not here.
I'm excited for this podcast. This was a game that I think warrants a lot of discussion, both in terms of the short term and the long term, right? Like, this was a game that we can discuss the specifics of the game, but we can also discuss what it means going forward. And after it's week 15 of the season, we've come on this podcast now after 9 losses this season. And there have been losses where it's just like we're repeating ourselves. Now we're in a situation where I really think there's substantial future of the organization questions that are on the verge of being answered, and that with each week we're getting more evidence about.
I agree with you,
All
Zach.
Right. Can you hear me right now?
Marissa, this might be you and me doing this podcast.
Oh,
that's okay.
Oh, no.
Can you hear us, Bo?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? But we're like, our timing is all off. Let me try to refresh here. You guys try to vamp for a couple minutes. Zach, let me ask you this. Why don't you take us through while I try to restart what Doug Peterson said after the game?
Sure. So there are a lot of different things here. First off, we'll start with his evaluation of Jalen Hurts. You might remember last week after the game, he was a little more tempered in what he was saying about Jalen. Tonight, he was more effusive, frankly, about Hurts. He liked the way Hurts played, liked the throws that he made in and out of the pocket, liked the toughness, mental and physical, liked the leadership that Jalen Hurts showed. So there are certainly things Jalen Hurts can work on, but he put the team in position to win the game. He did not name the starting quarterback for next week. I know there is some question as to why he just doesn't come out and say it's Jalen Hurts. I think it's fairly obvious to all of us that Jalen Hurts will start next week. I think that if Doug Peterson was on this podcast with us, or if we were just talking with Doug Peterson, rather, I think he would probably say the same. I don't think he wants to do so publicly. This is my opinion, because knowing Doug, I think he would rather deliver that message first to the parties involved. So my guess is he wants to tell Jalen and Carson, and maybe it extends to people in the front office before he makes that public declaration. But I think we can assume very safely that Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback next week.
This is such a ridiculous dance that Doug Peterson and the Eagles are doing. Of course he's going to be the starter next week. Like, why do we have to go through this charade just to like mollycoddle Carson Wentz's ego? It's so stupid.
Yeah, that's if that's what's central to it, the misogyny.
What else would there be? What other reason could there be?
Well, I think, like I said, knowing Doug, that he doesn't want his players to find out something through the media, so he doesn't want to get up on the lectern and say, or at the lectern, not on the lectern. He's not standing on it.
Good job by going lectern over podium. Nice job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's actually a pet peeve of mine.
Pedantically correct. That's good.
Yeah, he doesn't want to stand at the lectern and say that Jalen Hurts is starting, Carson Wentz isn't starting without delivering the message to them first. I don't know for a fact that's the reason, but just from being around Doug for 5 years now, I assume that's the reason.
Okay, before we get to the stuff that happened in this game and also the stuff that could happen big picture, and I think you and I disagree a little bit on what this means for the future of this Eagles team, let's set up the stakes for what could possibly happen here on this episode, swooper sorecasting-wise. Is that fair, Zach? Let's go through the scoreboard.
Sure, because that's more important than the game. So
of course. Well, we gotta set the stakes for the episode.
All the comments in the chat are dying to know if they're gonna see another Berman tonight. Okay.
All right. Well, I am going to address that. So let's get to it.
Very nice drop of your Jersey accent there when you said "ooh," Marissa. Nice. The later at night it is.
It slips out sometimes.
The more it comes out, I think. Okay. Zach's irons in the fire. Travis Fulgham has more catches than Larry Fitzgerald. This was actually ended up pretty close, but I think Fitzgerald beat him out, right? He had 3-2. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, he did beat out Fulgham.
Okay. So if only Travis Fulgham had existed for the Eagles before the second half of this game, you might have had that. At least one of the two starting quarterbacks sets a career high in rushing yards. Unfortunately, that did not happen for you. But Jalen Hurts' longest run is longer than Kyler Murray's longest run. So you had that. You also have Zach convinces his wife or one of his brothers to join the post-game pod for at least 5 minutes, and during the guest's appearance, Zach will remain on screen but silent. So that could happen in this episode. Let's find out if it will matter. You've got one with potentially two pending. Shiel. DeAndre Hopkins has the most receiving yards against the Eagles of any player this season, which was 184. Hopkins had 169, so he does not hit that, but he does hit. DeAndre Hopkins sets a season high in receiving yards, which was 151, so that's one for Shiel. He also had Kyler Murray has a run of 30 yards or more, which did not happen, and Jalen Mills does his finger wag on an incompletion that he has nothing to do with. And that, unfortunately and surprisingly, did not happen. Bo, Elijah Riley plays 20% of the defensive snaps. Did not happen. Jake Elliott makes every kick. Yes, he did. He did not attempt a kick on the fumbled snap on the field goal attempt from Lovato to Zach Ertz. So that's one. And then at least one player in the game has multiple sacks. Thank you to my man from the Arizona Cardinals, the guy who looks like Latimer from the program, Dennis Gardeck, who just is a juice machine, gets two sacks. So I have two. So Zach, it is up to you whether you will be eliminated from the season-long super sorecasting or not. You can force a tie, which would make it 3.5 to 3.5 to 1.5, setting up a very exciting final 2 weeks of the season. How are you feeling?
Well, I need to talk to Marissa here because she
to
is
preface
the judge.
This, I have not heard this conversation.
She has not
yet,
heard. Only so... Shiel and Bo have.
I'm like
this
nervous.
Is something, this is something that came up in conversation after the game. And what I am proposing is I am working on this begrudgingly, or I would say reluctantly. This is not something I'm happy with. And as I stated in a text, very clearly that as much as I dislike losing, I would accept losing rather than succumbing my brothers to the or subjecting my brothers to what goes on this podcast.
Few people better suited for this than you, who has, I believe, 37 brothers.
I have 4 brothers. But this is so I feel like for this, Shiel should be involved. number one. And number two, because we're doing a midnight pod, because we're doing a midnight pod, and some of my brothers are probably getting up like an hour after we finish this podcast to go to work, I will say, that's not really a flex. That's just, I was
early birds over there.
What if I delivered for the Wednesday podcast, still before the next game, still before the next game, you can get whatever shenanigans you want. You can have the 5 minutes. I don't know why this is a thing, but if I were to deliver for the Wednesday podcast, would that suffice for fulfilling the deal? All right. Deal. Good.
You're the arbiter, Marissa.
I agree. He's still delivering. Okay. And according to what was stated, it did not.
It said post-game pod.
Post-game pod. Did. Okay,
I feel like there's a case to be made. So that's why I asked him.
We'll be doing the Squall 22.
And Zach keeps it along, but.
We'll still be doing the Squall 22 on Wednesday, correct? So technically, yeah,
it's
still.
It's before the next game. I think it's a bit of a subversion of the rules, but I am willing to look the other way on behalf of the rest of the audience. I think it's in their best interest.
I agree.
Practically speaking, would you throw someone onto the podcast with, well, I suppose Marissa could ask questions too, but with Bo leading the way, like I feel like Shio could at least be a buffer to whatever questions might be coming.
I think you're being unfair to me. I think you should know that I'm not going to go too far.
Also,
I would go too far
could,
with you, not with not
you,
with
you
one of your
literally
loved
ones. Asked me about my honeymoon on like the second podcast we had. Yes.
You could get one of your kids on here too, and then they really won't say it too much because they're
that
so
would
little.
Be great. Yeah.
So they might just like play with the mic and the
that
timer
is true,
starts as soon as they sit down. So
but knowing them, they wouldn't last 5 minutes. It would be like 30 seconds with the mic and then they move on.
How about this, Zach? I say you get the points if you allow the listeners to vote on who, on which Berman should
the
come
on the podcast.
The listeners
want two brothers if we're waiting until one.
No.
They want two brothers. That would be good.
Mark, yeah.
two brothers or a wife.
Or
one. I think I would say two brothers equals one wife.
If he switches to Wednesday, he has to double the brothers.
I don't know about this. No, Marissa already
well,
ruled.
You've got some time to think it over.
Okay.
Marissa,
and
you,
I think
you
it gives us all something to look forward to. It's like a
it gives us something to look forward
Christmas
to on Wednesday.
Present.
That's true. Why don't you monitor the comments and let us know if there are any other
Berman
reasonable
needs
suggestions.
To appear in Zach's mirror.
Okay. Let's get to the actual game, Zach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch internets here, so I might go out for a second. So I'm going to give you a question that you can potentially vamp on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just this game itself. What did you think of the way the Eagles handled the end of the game? What did you think of that drive? And then going like 2 30-yard Hail Marys, it seemed like potentially they could have called something a little bit more creative there.
Yes, yeah, so I'll address the second question first. I didn't like the two Hail Marys. Obviously, they couldn't throw short of the end zone in bounds, so it would have needed to be something toward the sideline. And I imagine the Cardinals were playing that might have been behind kind of the logic of going to the end zone. But I didn't think those were high percentage passes. I probably would have taken one shot at the sideline and then one shot at the end zone. They didn't do that, but frankly, I thought where they really hurt themselves was on the previous drive. They got to what, the 13-yard line, 14-yard line. Hurts took two sacks there. Can't take those sacks in that situation. But I thought he put a real good throw to on to Goddard, right? On that the third down pass.
Really nice throw.
Yeah, Goddard had a shot there, right? And so that was a tough play. And then the fourth down play, that was more of a jump ball. Arizona played good defense there. But I think that when you have, I think first and goal from, or I'm not, we're not first and goal, a first and 10 from the 13 or the 14, you need a better effort there than two sacks.
Did you think, it looked weird like Dallas Goedert could have been in better position on the last play of the game.
I thought so
didn't
too.
You think so?
I
know
that
like I don't want to be nitpicky. Yeah. And he had gotten crushed on the play before, so I'm sure he was exhausted. Mm-hmm. But it feels like he was like he could have been right in position to catch that.
So what would you have done on the third down? thrown to the sideline?
I mean, 30 yards out, you don't need to be throwing a Hail Mary. Even if it's not, even if you're not picking up, you know, 10, 15 yards, you could have taken a different kind of shot at the end zone, I feel like. But I don't know.
True.
Maybe you think two shots is better than one.
Yeah, I mean, like you can't go short of the sticks.
Like,
if you go short of the sticks, If you go short of the end zone, I don't think you're going to spike it.
It's got to be towards the sideline. Yeah. So it's either like an 11 yard pickup or a shot at the end zone. But 30 yards out is not like doesn't need to be a home area. I feel like you could put something together. I don't know. Maybe that's unfair.
Fair enough.
Okay, I think my internet's settled. Am I looking good to you guys?
You always are.
Smooth. Oh, thanks. All right, let's get to the big question then, because this is, I think, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. You and I disagree a little bit about this. We were talking about it before the podcast. I think it's over. I think that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for this Eagles team in 2021, at least week one. I think the Carson Wentz era is done. Whether or not he knows it, whether or not the Eagles know it, it's over. Hurts has shown enough in these two games, and I know that you cannot judge a quarterback by two games. It's a tiny sample size. You can't extrapolate this. But he's shown enough that the Eagles now need to find out if he's the quarterback. And Carson Wentz is not going to, like, you know, the report that comes out today, you know, he doesn't want to be a backup. It's not necessarily news. It's more news that his people are seeding that out there. Not that the content itself is news, but that the report being out there is news. I think this whole thing is going down exactly the path that we sort of thought it might once they benched Carson Wentz. I think that the locker room is not going to forget the fact that Hurts looks a lot better than, like, the offense itself looks much better with Hurts than it does with Wentz. I think this whole thing is a fait accompli at this point. I think Carson Wentz has played his last game with the Eagles, barring injury.
I disagree. I'm not suggesting that can't happen or that the probability of that occurring has increased over the past 8 hours or so. But what I don't think, I think you're dismissing the possibility and perhaps you can say the likelihood that the Eagles look at the financial obligation, they look at the past performance, they look at the potential upside and say our mission, our objective this offseason is to fix Carson Wentz. So what we're going to do is we're going to build an infrastructure with the sole intent, because your main intent is to win Super Bowls, but with the purpose, with the intent of fixing Carson Wentz. That's not like a sticking my head in the sand and picking Carson Wentz aside or anything like that. That's just looking at this from a practical perspective between the cap obligation, the commitment the organization's made, and the fact that a two-game sample size on Jalen Hurts is not big enough, as encouraging as it is. And what is the upside for Jalen Hurts? Is the up, like, the what's the most likely outcome for Jalen Hurts? I would say it's still middle of the pack quarterback. I don't think it's top third of the league quarterback.
Probably.
So,
but on a rookie contract.
On a rookie contract, yeah. So what you're doing there is if you say, all right, we are committing to Jalen Hurts as our quarterback next year, then you're essentially doing what the Broncos did last year with Drew Lock. Drew Lock finished the season, what, 4-0 or something like that? I don't have the Drew Lock numbers in front of me. But you have a second-round pick who shows promise, and you don't know what the upside is, but you're encouraged by what you saw, and so you're going into the next year based on that limited sample size. And I think that I don't know if that's the best course of action. Now, I don't know if Carson Wentz will ever get back to 2017 form. I don't know if he'll ever get back to 2019 form. But I do know that the Eagles have a larger sample size to go off of with Carson, and they have $128 million contract that hasn't even commenced with Carson Wentz. So I don't think it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction. I think it's going to be looking at, A, who's your head coach? what's the infrastructure around him, meaning what's your offensive system, who's calling the plays, who else is on the roster, and then you go from there. And maybe you decide a change of scenery is best for both sides, and that could make sense. But I'm not sitting here saying it's over, the Carson Wentz era is done based on two games of Jalen Hurts.
I think all of those things are potentially true, and I also think that they are just stepping stones in the inevitability of what is going to happen. And if you ask me who is more likely to have the better career from here on out, I think the evidence is probably tilted a little bit in Carson Wentz's favor. Mm-hmm. I think he has enough of a sample size that there's a good chance he's going to be the better quarterback for the rest of their two respective careers. It's only been two games for Jalen Hurts. But in this organization, having turned the page, having benched Carson Wentz and brought in Jalen Hurts, and the offense looking so much better with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, I think you are underestimating the locker room's impact on this decision. I don't think quarterback competitions happen in a vacuum. And I think Jason Kelce's comments from this week are instructive in this sense. He was talking about something entirely different. But the line of, I have it here because it's in my column, the moment a team feels like you as an organization aren't doing your job for me to go out there and win, all of a sudden you've shown who you are. You don't care about me or this team. And if you as an organization are going to prioritize protecting your investment in one player over putting the team on the field that gives the team its best chance to win in the eyes of the players, I think you are starting from scratch. I think you are starting from day one having lost the locker room. If you're going to tell me that Carson Wentz is the quarterback, nothing else happens, I think you have half the locker room, if not more, tuning out. I mean, listen to the way these guys talk about
Jalen
Hurts.
But you're operating under the premise that the locker room has lost complete faith in Carson Wentz.
And I don't think they've lost. I think there are a lot of guys who like Carson Wentz, but I think they're watching the same thing we're watching. The team and the offense is much better with Jalen Hurts. The way they talk about Jalen Hurts, like this natural leader, it's not like he's some schlub. I think it's over.
Yeah, but you're not making a decision based on like what Quez Watkins thinks, right? You know, you're talking
but
who are the
these guys
pole
are watching the same thing we're watching.
I mean, who are the pole setters in the locker room?
Jason Peters.
I mean, if you're well, first off, you have to establish who's back next year and who's not back next year. Right, like there could be.
Yeah, but I mean, like Fletcher Cox saying he wanted Carson Wentz to be the starter. Guess what? That was before Jalen Hurts' first game, and they've looked like he saw the team has looked a lot better in these last two games. You know, it's possible that Jalen Hurts goes out and throws, 10 interceptions in the next two games, and this looks silly. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is the door that they opened when they benched him. And, you know, we can argue, I think they could have benched him sooner and maybe they would be in the playoffs right now. And this is the possibility you open yourselves up to, in that in benching him, he could be gone forever. And that's the way that this is playing out. I think Jalen Hurts is probably, you know, history tells us going to be a middle of the road quarterback at best. But I think this is it now. Even if I don't even think that they can both come back and enter a quarterback competition in the summer. I think
I disagree.
It's over.
And I don't want to take anything away from Jalen Hurts. He's played two good games. And frankly, if you read it, well, those who read my column, which will be out in a few hours, which is about like the evaluation of Doug Peterson now that we've seen Jalen Hurts, it's more in line with what you're saying than what I'm arguing. But I'm not giving you my opinion of what I think should happen. I'm just practically telling you like how I think this could play out, number one. And I think you're overstating the weight that a 4-9-1 locker room is going to carry, right? Like this is how many of these guys are going to be back and are going to be core players when they win, right?
Well, you know who's coming back? The guys who are going to be core players, the young guys who like love Jalen Hurts. That's who's coming back. Yeah. Jalen Reagor.
Like, I mean, it's just like I can't say this enough. It's a 2-game sample size, right?
I know it is, but I mean, there's recency bias.
Yeah.
And like, he's been really, really good. He's been freaking awesome.
True.
I mean,
I can give you a 2-game sample size, but Carson Wentz has been really good too, right?
Of course you can. Yeah. But he's been good. He's been good in different ways. You know, against the Saints, he plays from ahead. He uses his arms. Doesn't have to throw too much. And then the excuses are, well, you know, that's game script was super positive for him. Like, let's see what he has to do when he has to come behind. Well, guess what happens the next week? He starts off terribly. They're down 16-0, and he almost leads them to a come from behind victory. They might win if they, you know, have good special teams. They probably do win if they don't have like the worst special teams performance you've ever seen. So, like, he throws for over 300 yards.
I agree with all
total yards from scrimmage in the first two games. He's like the fifth best of all time. You know, not all those guys are great. Maybe he's just Matt Flynn. But you have to see what you have, I think.
Well, yeah,
it's a nice scenario where you trade Carson Wentz, you eat the money, you try out Jalen Hurts for a year, and if he's not there, you can go back to the drawing board, and you're rebuilding with this turned over roster anyway. But I think this is what they have to do.
So a few things there. First off, there is,
and also, oh, go ahead.
There's no argument that could be made that this offense this year is better with Carson Wentz than Jalen Hurts. Like, they were bad with Carson Wentz. They are much better with Jalen Hurts. Doug Peterson has called better games with Jalen Hurts than with Carson Wentz. The team has responded more with Jalen Hurts than with Carson Wentz. The way I phrased it in my column, I don't have it in front of me, but it's almost become prescriptive. It's like when someone goes on an elimination diet to try to figure out like what's causing them problems. And they figure out, you know, that the food that they eliminated was like the source of the problem. That's what you're seeing here with this Eagles offense. And frankly, I think that bodes well to Doug Peterson, to the evaluation of Doug Peterson and the evaluation to the rest of the roster. Practically speaking, I understand all of that. What I am saying, and don't take this as me supporting Carson Wentz or saying they need to go with Carson Wentz. I'm just saying that there's a big financial obligation, and the question that they need to ask is who has the better chance of being a top of the league quarterback, top third of the league, Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts? And I bring up that Drew Lock example because you can be fooled by a limited sample size of a rookie quarterback. And as poorly as Carson Wentz has played this year, he will get the benefit of the doubt because not just of the sample size, but because of the contract.
Well, a couple. I mean, those are fair points. First of all, if you can't be hiring a coach because you think he's going to give you a better shot to resurrect Carson Wentz, you can't be like,
that's what happens all the decision. Time in this league. Right.
You cannot be making you cannot sell it as we think this is the guy who's going to turn around Carson Wentz when he just got benched. Like, just as you say, there's no way that you could make the case that like Carson Wentz should be the quarterback again this season. Nothing is going to change from the end of the season until the beginning of next season.
So much is like, going to change
Jalen Hurts,
from the end of this season
but Jalen,
to the beginning of next season.
But Jalen Hurts will still be the one who finished the season playing better.
Yeah, but so much, like the offseason. That's the. I mean,
it
I mean that's what I'm
so
saying. Well, here
I'll
say
it
this
so
way.
Insane for them to be there like, is, okay, Jalen Hurts was great at the end of the year. He deserved to be the starter. Carson, you're our guy. That would be insane.
Well, no, but one scenario that they cannot have, and this is where I will agree. There cannot be a scenario in which both Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz return, because then you're just running your head against the wall, right? It's like it's the same thing, and you're just hoping that it's better. That won't happen. But if you bring in, if you're committing to Carson Wentz, and therefore you bring in a new coach and a new offensive system,
you cannot sell like we bring in this guy because we think he's gonna be the one to resurrect Carson Wentz. What happens if Carson stinks again for 3 games and they have to replace him with Jalen Hurts, and all of a sudden you've got another head coach who is a bad fit?
But like this is what happens in coaching all the time. You know, they're talking about this frankly with the Chargers with Justin Herbert. I think you and Shield supported this on the podcast the other night, that you have to bring in a coach who is going to like maximize Justin Herbert, right?
Like, well, just because Anthony Lynn's a bad coach.
But my point is that's like that logic can't apply with Justin Herbert, but not apply with Carson Wentz, right? Teams make decisions all the time based on the quarterback. What you're trying, if the Eagles make a coaching change, my opinion is the coaching change will be done to try to unlock Carson Wentz. Or to try to fix Carson Wentz.
I don't think there is really any precedent, and I guess we should look into this. But I can't think of any precedent of a quarterback being benched and then getting his job back, like at this level with the backup playing this well. I mean, it's not dissimilar from like the Kevin Cobb Michael Vick thing. Mm-hmm. Like, one guy is your quarterback, he's your quarterback, and then another guy gets a shot and he outplays him, and that's it. It's over.
Yeah, now there's also – no, I agree. And I think Tony Dungy made that comment this week that, like, once you decide to bench your quarterback, you've decided to move on. And frankly, this is something that I said throughout October, November when we were talking about the possibility of benching Carson. I said once you go there, you have to accept what could happen. Like you can't just look at the Kevin right. Cobb example.
And this is what has happened.
And this is what happened, yeah.
Okay, Zach, I guess let's talk a little bit about the game specifically. And it was an ugly start for the Eagles. It looked like this game might get totally out of hand. Just to set the stage, you know, the Eagles had no Darius Slay in this game. They were starting Michael Jacquette on the outside alongside Kevon Seymour with Nickell Robey-Coleman in the slot, Jalen Mills, and Marcus Epps as safety. So that was a tough secondary group charged with defending DeAndre Hopkins. And we'll get to, I guess, some of those plays because Michael Jacquette, I thought, did very well, even though DeAndre Hopkins had such a big game. So the Cardinals jump out to a lead, a safety to start things off as Jalen Hurts is called for intentional grounding in the end zone. The offense had a slow start. They're down 16-0. It looked like this might be a long day. And I think all the more impressive for the Eagles to then rally from there and make a game of it, probably not something that we would have seen from the 2020 Carson Wentz-led Eagles.
No, you are right about that. And we could start at the beginning of the game. It was a disaster for the Eagles. And frankly, it looked at that point, you know, between the safety, which was I give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit for the day he had. That was a bad safety, right? That was a play.
Yeah, I thought there was a case to be made. They didn't have a good replay. There was a case to be made that he was maybe borderline outside the tackle box. But one thing we have seen from him, you know, he was not sacked at all last week. He took a bunch of sacks this week, some of them not necessarily his fault.
Yeah.
He is not, you know, super careful with the ball. He's got four fumbles in two games now. And I think it's kind of funny that it's like, One of the comparisons you could make is to 2017 Carson Wentz. He's like the Eagles go from one guy with ball control issues to another.
True, but he did not throw any interceptions, and he's had two games without interceptions. So that was a bad play in that spot. Then, I mean, we can get to the special teams later, but just a disastrous day for the special teams.
God.
Blocked punt, and it was like take your pick on who was going to block the punt. There was no blocking there. And so they fall into that 16-0 hole, and I thought Jalen Hurts at that point really responded. And you said the 2020 Carson Wentz Eagles don't have that type of effort. What jumped out to me there was, and you mentioned this earlier, the way Jalen Hurts threw the ball and really took advantage of the game through the air, right? You know, he got different players involved. I know we're talking about the beginning of the game here, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we've talked about chunk plays, right? And how are they going to get chunk plays this year? This stat was they had seven passes of 20 or more yards, I think it was. And that hasn't happened since Nick Foles in 2018. Mm. So.
Well, it was so interesting because I touched on this before, but it was so different. He was successful in such a different way than he was last week. You know, last week it was lead with the legs, mm-hmm. and make a couple plays on quick one-read throws on the outside. This game, like the game script put it in his arm, and he was able to do that. Last week, he only threw two passes only attempted two passes more than 20 yards downfield and didn't complete any of them. And as you said, seven plays for over completions for over 20 yards in this game. I thought it was an impressive look into, this guy can win. I mean, they didn't win the game, but this guy can play in more than one way. It was exciting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I asked Jalen after the game, because I thought that was the most encouraging development of his performance. I admit when they drafted him, and it's probably on record in our post-game pod, I'm sorry, post-draft night pod, and then in the story, I watched a lot of Jalen Hurts in college. I said, there are questions about him as a passing quarterback. You know, he was benched at halftime of the national championship game because he couldn't complete a pass, basically, right? Like, they needed a quarterback who can complete a pass. It's a credit to how much he's improved as a passer during these past 3 years that, his deep balls is really good. And we saw that during training camp, and that mm-hmm. continues to be the case.
That first day, remember that very first day, Quez Watkins, dust for Sewell Douglas?
He puts good air
down
under.
Down the right sideline.
Yeah, he's accurate with it. He does a good job there. And
how about the juice on Quez Watkins running down the sideline?
Spin move, run down the sideline. Yeah,
we talk about Rager doesn't look that fast on the field. Quez Watkins looks fast.
That's your guy too. I mean, that was pre-draft. You were all over Quez.
That's true.
You know, that was one of those lose the battle and win the war one, because I had written about John Hightower as the mid-round speed guy they should go after, and you wrote.
And I liked Hightower too. I liked him from the Shrine.
Yeah, game, you had him in your.
I liked Quez more. Yeah. Quez was one of my guys.
Exactly.
Quez and Gabe Davis.
Exactly.
Who's having a great rookie season.
All over that. Although I was also over Darnell Mooney late, and he had his fourth or fifth touchdown. But we can stop patting ourselves
that's
on the back.
That's more touchdowns than Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, we can stop patting ourselves on the back here. No, I thought the supporting cast helped him out more today too. And look, I need to say this on the podcast because we have ripped Alshon Jeffery.
Because there's nowhere else to say it.
Well, we have ripped Alshon Jeffery. We've been very critical of the organization
rightfully
for the roster decision. Alshon Jeffery for his performance. He showed up today.
Yeah, he did sort of.
I mean, the pass interferences he drew, that's part of being a wily veteran, right? Like that's
right.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I mean, this was obviously his best game of the season. And as my subject or name on the Zoom will tell you, I thought it was really just an embarrassing performance from Patrick Peterson to be getting dusted by Alshon Jeffery.
I didn't think he was getting dusted by him though.
I think there are people who are saying this on Twitter, and I think it's probably a fair thing to say. Like, you think Alshon Jeffery's trying as hard on some of those plays for Carson Wentz as he was for Jalen Hurts?
I don't want to say that. I mean,
it's hard not to read it that way.
I mean, you look at the
quote unquote jump he had
in that Browns game.
It's hard to imagine he would be making the same effort. Maybe he's just gotten that much more healthy.
But
he looks fine. But I mean,
got
at the same time,
too, right?
But at the same time, Alshon Jeffery did was so great. Well, guess what? The Jalen Reagor injury forces them to finally have Travis Fulgham on the field, and he has two huge catches on the final drive. He should still be on the field instead of Alshon Jeffery,
or at least be on the field more. You're absolutely right. But look, Zach Ertz has been nowhere to be found this year. He had two of his three longest completions, or I should say receptions of the season today. So Ertz was making plays, like you said, Quez Watkins. Now that was. Those were yards after the catch. Greg Ward, that was a nice touchdown catch. I thought, and they got their screen game working a little better today. I thought just the whole offense functioned better with Jalen Hurts. So I think that speaks to Jalen Hurts, and it also speaks to Doug Peterson.
Marissa, it looks like we got a troll in the comments. What's going on over here?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the comments. Somebody's saying they missed Shield because we're not reading them. So I'm reading everything. So nothing gets past me. So let's all be nice.
Feel free to jump in anytime.
Let's all be nice, people. Yes, we have a few trolls in the chat. So let's all get along and not be mean to each other.
Jeremiah Dolan, go back to your mom's basement.
Yeah.
And go to sleep. You've got school tomorrow morning.
I did ask the chat how they were feeling about whether there would be an open competition. And a lot of people think that we're more leaning towards what Bo was saying, that Hertz should, it shouldn't be an open competition.
Bad news. That must mean Zach's going to be right.
Well, I and that goes back to the report this morning. I don't see a scenario like there's literally, or I shouldn't say literally here. I cannot imagine a scenario where Carson Wentz is on this roster and he's not the starting quarterback. I mean, maybe the only scenario is if he loses a quarterback competition and then you have him as a backup next year and you just eat the money the following offseason. But I think if you're bringing him back this year, you're committing to him as your guy. I think otherwise you trade him.
I do not think there is any scenario in which they can proclaim in the offseason that Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback, no competition. I do not think there's any way they can do that.
Well, then you trade him. Like, if you're going to have a quarterback competition, you trade him. Because, like we've discussed on this pod,
I mean, maybe you stack the deck and you think that he's going to win the competition, but you cannot. Like, there is absolutely no way in which you can completely ignore what Jalen Hurts did and say, this guy's our starter, this guy's our backup.
But, it, like, as we've discussed, the league still, or people in the league, at least, I don't want to say the entire league, still think highly of Carson. Whatever value Carson has now, okay, there is, like, if you have any question that, or I shouldn't say any question, if there's question enough to have a competition, then you just trade him because you're not going to, if he loses
right.
the competition,
I agree with that.
There's no value at all to get from him.
I don't know if that's true. Because I think Hurts's level of play has helped the Eagles. If Hurts was bad and there was still going to have to be a competition, then Wentz looks worse. But Hurts has been so good that it makes it, reasonable to try to trade Wentz without totally falling on your face and admitting defeat.
I mean, I think, I'm talking about,
I think you can sell it as we found a different quarterback.
You mean this offseason?
It's like the Foles thing. We're going to,
No, I agree with you. This offseason, I'm saying that if he comes back and loses the competition, there is no value.
Well,
him.
But
then he's 2 years removed from any type of, like, meaningful
production.
Yeah,
but he hasn't been bad. He's been on the bench. He's a mystery.
But who's giving a valuable asset for a 29-year-old quarterback who's 2 years, who hasn't played in 2 years?
I don't know. The Eagles
with Sam Bradford.
A second-round pick. Exactly. Like,
that's basically the only
It
thing.
Just takes one team. Yeah, I don't think it's
But
that
I
crazy.
Think, like, that's if you're going to have a competition, trade him this offseason. Because I do think you can get value for him this offseason.
Yeah, I think we think the same thing. I think you're just slower to get to the end point.
No, but because I think you're just
No, no, no. I don't mean slower. That's not Marissa's asking.
You're slower. No, I don't mean slower.
No, no. I just think I think you are, and this is a credit to you. You're more willing to go through the process.
Yeah.
And I'm just fast forwarding to I think what is going to be the end point. Like the Eagles are gonna, no matter who the quarterback, the head coach is, they're gonna come out this offseason and they're gonna say, we've got two starting caliber quarterbacks. It's a good problem to have. All this stuff is great. We'll find out what happens in the summer, but we're not worried about it because it's the most important position in football. And then they're gonna trade Carson Wentz.
I mean, yeah, like I think you're just not giving. I think Bo froze. Oh, okay, you're back now. Okay. It was a good face you were frozen on. I don't think you are giving enough weight to the possibility that they say Carson's upside's higher. Let's figure this out with Carson.
Okay. Well, we've got I guess we've got a long off season. And,
yeah, we're gonna have this. I'm sorry, Marissa. We're gonna be talking about this every week for about 30 weeks. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm
both frozen.
Really
again.
Frozen.
Great stuff, guys. Sorry about the internet.
No problem.
Let's do it. Let's do a couple of quick hits on the game itself, Zach. You know, I made this point on Twitter, but like Quez Watkins, Michael Jacquet making like the biggest plays in this game. Jacquet forced two fumbles. I think is an important rebuttal to the idea that like playing to win is about playing your veterans. Like at some
Absolutely.
point, You got to let the young guys play because maybe they are going to be better. Like maybe they're going to be really good and make game-winning plays.
You are absolutely right. And the only way to see talent is to play. Is to play them.
Ooh, that's a good one.
What's that?
The only way to see talent is to play talent. I like that.
The veterans they have haven't been working, right? You know, and by the way, this is no disrespect to Kevon Seymour, and the Eagles don't really have a lot of those guys on the depth chart anyways, depth cornerbacks. But I would rather have the young draft pick than the recycled veteran, you know. And this was the argument against playing Jamon Brown earlier this season, right? And there are other examples of this. Richard Rodgers, right? You know, and Richard Rodgers has contributed for them, but
he's been the best tight end in the league.
but I think your point is accurate that it's not binary. Like you're either competing or you're playing younger players. Sometimes those younger players are better than the guys who are out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about the players who have been. Wins for the think about the players who are going to be on the team next year in important roles that we've learned about this year by them just being forced into action. Jordan Mailata, maybe Jack Driscoll, maybe Nate Herbig, Travis Fulgham, Alex Singleton, I don't know, maybe Michael Jaquette. Yeah. All these guys, there have been a bunch of guys who have, you know, have not been good, but there have also been, you know, Jamon Brown and Nate Gary or even like Vinnie Curry, these guys who are soaking up snaps, and it turns out that maybe the guys behind them should have been taking a Josh Sweat. Like these guys should have been playing more all along.
You're right. I agree with you. And by the way, you could make the argument too that I thought Nakel Roby-Coleman actually played decently tonight today. But
he's been bad. But yeah.
But you can make the argument that Michael Jaquette showed some promise earlier this summer, right? Maybe he should have gotten more time at outside corner, and you can play Avante Maddox in the slot where he's played in the past, right? Just to get young juice on the field, because I think there's merit to what you said. I think sometimes there's this misconception, and it's no disrespect to what Jason Kelce said the other day. I don't think you should be playing for a draft pick, but I don't think playing younger players means you're throwing in the towel.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like the Jets winning today. Like, the players on the field are always going to be still trying to win, whether or not the organization is set up. And you know, if you're trying to lose, there's no better way to do it than have Adam Gase coach your team. So,
except when you play the Rams, right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
How about that? What a turnaround.
That's like a franchise-altering game.
I don't know. Maybe that makes the Jags GM job so attractive that people want that instead.
I mean, it's
just a thought.
Like Trevor Lawrence is that good? You know, watching him last night, yesterday afternoon rather. It was the 4 o'clock game. But I don't know. Did you watch that one?
No, I didn't. I haven't watched a college football game all year.
Oh.
Or watch parts of it.
You watch parts of it?
It's very good.
The same four teams every year.
You're seeing the gap between the other quarterbacks behind him, too.
Exactly.
So
yeah, Fields was...
Jets can't be feeling too good right now.
I was watching a lot. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was watching that Big Ten game. And I've been a Fields believer. But man, Trevor, the gap between Trevor Lawrence and the other guys is significant.
Yeah.
You haven't watched a single college football game.
There's no college football for me. Yeah.
But I guarantee you before the draft, you're going to have like the boldest draft picks on these guys.
I'm going to do my work. Yeah. I'm going to inform my decisions. It's not like watching a couple games on the game broadcast is going to make me that much more knowledgeable.
Sure it will. It's more exposure to these guys.
I think that's debatable. I think that could be fool's gold.
Okay.
You know what we did yesterday?
What's it?
Case and I were doing a lot of baking cookies, doing some holiday cookies, and then we got in the car and gave them to some friends in the city, and then today we were gonna give some plates of cookies to the neighbors, and I created such a cookie giving monster that like a couple of the neighbors who we know weren't there to answer the door. And so Casey was insisting that we just continue down the block, knocking on random doors until we got somebody who was home. So we gave him to a couple of randos today, just so we could give them away.
What kind of cookies were they?
Kind of funny. We did four different kinds of cookies. His grandma helped with some sugar cookies, and then we did some Wolf classics, some Wolf holiday classics. There's like a chocolate, like brownie crinkle thing. There's a like an oatmeal base with like a dark chocolate and nuts on top. And then there's my personal favorite, which is, it's called, I believe, a snowball, which is like some walnuts or pecans mixed in with the dough for like some confectionery sugar, and then a little rolled in a little confectionery sugar. I like those. Those are my favorites.
Nice. Right.
Making me hungry.
Yeah, that's a good activity with your son.
106.
Casey nice, and I will drive. We'll drive over to you, and we'll drop off a plate for you.
But they're not gluten free. You got to do a gluten free option next time.
That's true.
They definitely don't taste as good.
What did you do other than watch football yesterday, Zach?
I spent a lot of time with my family. I hung out with the kids. Yeah, it was like frigid outside, so there wasn't.
Am I cutting out again?
There wasn't much to. No, you're here. I took a walk with them, but I think you're frozen now. But it was frigid outside.
And the face that he's frozen on is pretty great. Anything else we should touch on while Bo's here? Gone.
You back?
What happened?
He's back.
I'm back.
He froze on a really, really...
On a funny picture. Yeah. What were you going to say we needed to touch on?
No, I was asking Zach if there's anything else we need to touch on while you were gone.
Yeah, we should probably start to wrap things up now so we don't get this happen again. Okay, what's... Were there any game management decisions we need to talk about?
Yeah, there were. There was a punt on a 4th and 6. I think it was at the 42, maybe, 43.
Now was this Elliott's first punt or
no, this was when Cam Johnson was still in the game.
It was Johnson's last punt.
Yeah. Okay. I thought they should have gone for that. I thought they should have gone for two.
And that was when they called that bad screen on 3rd and 6, which I think if they had gained a little bit, then they would have gone for it.
Yeah, you made that point there. Yeah. I thought Doug should have gone for the 2-point conversion when Cam was out. Now that was a bad snap by Lovato. Akeem Talib seemed to think
that. Yeah, it's so tough. What a tough deal for Ertz.
Yeah, if the regular holder was out there, he would have scooped it up. I don't know. Like, that was like a ground ball.
Yeah. That was a really bad snap. Come on, Lovato. Yeah. Give Ertz a shot.
I thought Jake Elliott did a good job punting. Like, that, the second punt he had was a real good punt.
It was.
And then I thought, I don't want to rip on the broadcasters too much because I've never broadcasted like an NFL game. I don't know how they get this information. But first off, they made no mention of the fact that Jake Elliott was out. I was watching the game and I was like, is that?
They mentioned it once.
No.
Johnston.
At first when it happened.
Oh, yes. Yeah. At first when it happened, yes.
So I saw number 4 back there and I'm like, wait, that's weird. And then the Eagles announced that Johnston had a head injury. And then, but they didn't announce it on the broadcast. And they were debating, like the Eagles went for a 4th down and, And they were debating whether they should go for it or not. They didn't acknowledge that the Eagles punter was hurt.
I put that on the producer.
Okay.
And the play by play guy.
Yeah.
A little bit. But like they also had the timeouts wrong at the end of the first half. Which I would put on the broadcast itself. I thought I liked Talib.
Yeah, so did I.
Given the alternatives, I enjoyed Akeem Talib. Yeah. Give me a little something different.
Exactly. But then I think too, I don't want to run too far over. I know you got a lot of writing ahead of you, but and Marissa has like a lot of work in general. Like she produces 18 podcasts.
I got a Browns pod tonight after this that has a total different tone.
Seriously, their coach and quarterback
are ready to start celebrating on that.
Some injuries along the offensive line though that they need to be worried about.
They did, but they should have.
But they have a lot of depth there. So that's they have a lot of depth.
They do have a lot of depth.
But special teams.
I like Nick Harris.
Yeah, so do I.
Nick Harris?
Yeah.
Oh, I lost it.
Yeah, I liked him in the draft.
Yeah. No, he looked great tonight. He filled in on the second play of the game for Chris Hubbard and really did well. I don't think Baker was sacked once, so Baker's looking really good.
Marissa should host this podcast. She knows more than both of us.
I mean, without a doubt.
Special teams was it was a disaster. And
disaster. Do you think there's any chance Phipp is back?
I can't see that. No. I mean, if there's a new coach you bring in, Phipp's a nice guy, but this has been, I mean, the whole unit's underperforming.
They've been
this
bad
year
for a couple years.
And then
now.
Tonight, we mentioned the blocked punt.
We mentioned the block kick, but we didn't mention the
fake
punt.
They fell for a fake there, and they just looked unprepared for it, right? Now, I don't know how you decipher looks.
Well, they had the defense on the field.
Yeah. Like Jalen Mills and Marcus Epps.
This is the second time this has happened.
Yeah, Jalen Mills and Marcus Epps just both jumped, you know, just I guess didn't recognize it. Their first step was in. It's like when you play outfield and they say your first step has to be out, right? Because it's harder to run back once you take the step forward. But, yeah, that was bad. And, I mean, I'm not going to put the punter getting injured on him, but those two plays were major problems in the game.
And they have no juice in the return game.
No juice. I mean they're still not putting Jalen Reagor back there. So.
Well, and also even the kickoff return.
Yeah, Boston Scott just runs into the wall. Yeah.
You got Blake Countess. They called him up to the roster. He's a good kickoff returner. Let him return kicks.
True.
Just an idea. So. All right. Well, we do have lots to get to, and I think we're going to do a supersized episode on Wednesday, a 2-for-1-er.
Great.
With two Bermans. Right? So.
No, just, I don't think we have enough time for that, honestly.
Well, you count as one.
We've got nothing but time. I think if I believe the commenters laid down the law, I believe two brothers or one wife.
No.
Think about it. Two brothers is better.
If you have a wife and a brother, I say he gets a flat-out win.
Oh, that's
I don't know if I can
actually,
go for
but
that.
I don't know if I want to subject my wife to this. Yeah.
Well, that would be the criteria.
Yeah.
I think two brothers is good because then it deflects the attention on just one.
True.
And then you get a little bit back and forth.
Or they could just team up. That might make it worse.
Right. Then, all of a sudden, then the Bermans would outnumber the non-Bermans.
Well, no, there would be three of you. So
that's true.
Anyways, there's a loaded show on Wednesday because we need to talk about what's going on with the team midweek. And then we need Shields evaluation of the game. We have Swooper Swordcasting, and we have our predictions.
And just to quickly set the scene, the Eagles, we haven't even talked about this, are not eliminated from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So they remain a game and a half back of Washington. What they need is to finish 2-0 against the Cowboys and Washington in Week 17. And they need Washington to lose to the Panthers next week. And they also need the Giants to lose at least one more game. The Giants play at Baltimore next week, which you would think is a loss. And then they play the Cowboys in Week 17. And the interesting wrinkle is that both Washington and the Giants play next week at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The Eagles play the Cowboys at 4:25. So the Eagles theoretically will know by kickoff whether or not they control their own destiny or whether they have been eliminated from the playoffs. So it could still happen. I don't think it's that Washington, Carolina, Washington will be favored, but I don't think it's insane to think that Carolina could pull off that upset, especially against Dwayne Haskins.
I agree.
Okay, so an interesting week ahead and an interesting several months coming. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. Thanks for listening and for watching and commenting on YouTube. Shout out to the trolls in the comments. I hope that you find Templar wherever he is and you guys can hang out together. For Zach, Marissa, and Sheil, I'm Bo. And for all the rest of the Bermans, thanks for listening. And